Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Mike Maron. He's our guy. If he can't do it, nobody can.
Me. La 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 la.
La 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 la. He's Mike Maron. He's our man. If he can't do it, nobody could.
I like that a lot. That's one of the... Is that something you've been learning at work? Is that how to sell an advert?
Oh, yeah.
You're waiting for the bit to sort of, at the end, to rhyme up, and it doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the classic rah-rah-ree, kick him in the knee. Rah-rah-rollocks, kick him in the other knee.
I thought it was bollocks. Hey, listen, I've been highly charged listening to some fantastic radio.
Really?
Yeah, your alma mater, as the Americans would call it, RTE Gold.
Have
started doing exactly what BBC Radio 2 do on a Saturday afternoon, but don't tell anyone. And they even use the same music, the sort of the pick of the pops, you know. And the countdown this week is from 1976. But I tell you what, not a bad song. This week, 1978. Okay, here's a top 10. Oh, fuck on a sec, it's gone. There it is. Here's a top 10 for you, right?
Yeah.
We're recording.
The show has started. This is the Keith Walsh podcast. This is how we roll. We just fucking get straight into it. No kissing, straight in. Okay, no foreplay.
Yeah, this is like Cobblestone Jacks or whatever. What's it called, that place?
Copperface Jacks.
Cobblestone Jacks.
It's the Keith Walsh podcast. It's essential like your breakfast. It will get you up and going, learn some things you didn't know. Yeah, it's the Keith Walsh podcast. It's the Keith Walsh podcast. Give you energy like Buckfast. And if your head's in a pickle or you're looking for a giggle, it's the Keith Walsh podcast.
Yeah, it's like that with the stuff has been lifted, so you got to wear your mask in the corner. But we don't. We go straight into shifting.
Straight in, yeah. We'll talk about shifting and Copperfest Jacks a little bit later.
Oh, cool.
Mike, have you got the chart rundown for this week, 1978?
78. Okay, so when were you born?
73.
Okay, so this wouldn't be in your memory like it was in my memory. I remember this like crystal clear. I remember going to see Grease, the movie. This is putting it, you know, and it was quite a cold winter. I just moved to Ireland and everything was beautiful. The top 14, Crystal Gale, Talking in Your Sleep, Leo Sayer, and I Can't Stop Loving You, Buzzcocks, Ever Fallen in Love with Someone, Sham 69, Hurry Up Harry, not one of their best, but yeah. Rose Royce, number 10, Love Don't Live Here Anymore.
And Love Don't Live at number 10.
And then 9, Public Image by Public Image Limited. What a fucking tune.
Yeah.
And then the Jacksons at 8, Blame It on the Boogie. So this was the end of disco, the beginning of punk. There was a massive shift going on. And then you got ELO, Sweet Talking Woman. What a fucking tune. And in the middle of all this, you've got Dean Friedman.
And we can thank our lucky stars that we're not as smart as we
like to think we are.
Followed by Donna Summer, MacArthur Park, one of the best / worst songs ever written. But you can't, none of these songs, if they came on the radio, you would switch them off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Boomtown Rats, Rat Trap,
yeah.
At number 4.
June. Is that's the UK charts?
This is the Irish charts. Rasputin, Boney M. Russia's greatest love machine, I think. What a lot of fucking lyric. And they were Dutch. Who knew? Boney M were Dutch. And the guy didn't actually sing. It was another guy.
That's right. Yeah. They were like a fake band, weren't they?
Yeah, absolutely fake. Well, they like were real.
Billy Minnelli.
The women. Minnelli. They were like a vanilla car door. Yeah. And then the top two, of course, were dominated by Sandy. Can't you see my jealousy? Oh, fuck, my phone's going off. John Travolta, and then John Travolta and ONJ, Olivia Newton-John. Summer night.
Tell me more. Tell me more.
Yeah.
Mike, you went to see that movie.
Oh yeah.
Were you struck by the old men playing the teenagers?
No.
At the time.
No, I was 10, you see, so they didn't look old. And I heard a fascinating fact about Olivia Newton-John the other day. Where's Olivia Newton-John from?
Australia.
She's English, moved to Australia.
Ah.
Where are the Bee Gees from?
Australia.
Manchester.
English moved to Australia.
And then moved back. Yeah.
Was it you telling me they called themselves the Bee Gees because they hated England or something like that? No. Because they were like the British Bee, I don't know what it was. It was something to do with British fucking Bee Gees. I don't know. Can't remember. What's Sean Ryder? I was watching a clip of Sean Ryder on Gogglebox. Sean Ryder, Happy Mondays, and there was something on about Greece, and he called Olivia Newton-John Olivia Neutron Bomb.
Yeah, that was her name.
Was that what she was called?
Yeah, remember she did that video called Let's Get Physical. Let's get
physical.
I wanna get
physical. And that's ready when, yeah.
Yeah, that was interesting. Was that interesting for you, Mike? Was that the first stirrings when watching Olivia Newton-John, Let's Get Physical?
Well, it was the DJ, the English DJ, Kenny, what's his name? He used to Kenny with the big hands.
Kenny Big Hands.
Yeah, we're going to call him Kenny Big
Kenny
Hands.
Kenny Noble.
No.
Kenny Barnable.
Everett.
Kenny Everett.
The Kenny Everett show would have called her Olivia Neutron Bomb and done a sort of something about her every week. She was wearing spandex, like, wowzer. We had never seen anything like this. It was wowzer, wowzer. Things are happening in my trouser.
They were wearing her.
Yeah, very much so. And did you know that spandex is an anagram of expand?
No, I didn't. Wow, I think we can leave it there. I think that's the podcast done. We're not going to beat that.
No, we're not. I think it expands. But yeah, but it's true, though. It does expand.
Wow. That's amazing.
Wow.
Check it out. Here, Mike.
Yeah.
I have a couple of emails for you here.
Oh, fuck. Oh, God.
From Ken Howard. Yeah, do you hate these, do you?
No, I know. I like them. But I never know how to sort of react to them.
Yeah, you just read them out and then move on.
it's really like, fuck these people, right?
Just give them a little bit of a hat tip and then move on. Don't indulge them too much.
Excuse me. Yeah.
I worked with people in radio that like hated people. Like I used to say to people, but the people that text in love your show. They're fans. Like you should, and like you'd be on radio. People would be giving out, going, "Fuck, what the fuck's he emailing in? What's he texting in about? What a dickhead!" And you're like, "What? He loves the show. He's trying to get involved. It's a good thing."
Yeah,
he's annoying me now. Like, oh my god, wow. Oh, people are weird, especially radio people. Anyway,
no, I love the fact that somebody has actually taken the time to put. Like pen, not pen, but fingertip.
Yeah,
to me. Yeah.
They're listening.
Right.
They're getting involved. They're, you know, that's good. Ken Howard, he says, "I'm 40 and I've never heard about the goo."
Good man, Ken.
Maybe it's not a thing in the US. Are you a US man, Ken Howard?
Ken Howard, is he anything to Ron Howard? Do you think he's his brother?
Could be it. It could be. I'd say a son, maybe, because he's only 40. Ron's probably 70, isn't he?
Yeah, I suppose. But then again, you talk about that. The Fonz was about 60, and he was going, "Hey."
He was like, "How do you do, fellow kids?" Maybe it's not a thing in the US. Probably just keep made it up, which he's permitted to do as a podcaster. Take care, Ken, which I'm now going to give an American accent to. Thank you, Ken.
Sheesh. Jesus. Your accent work. Your accents are shit.
I know. I'm happy that they're shit now. I used to think that I did good accents. Now that I know they're shit, I'm a lot more comfortable with the whole thing.
There you go. Thank you, Ken. I think you're right, by the way.
I want you to try to tell me how I think this email is some kind of hoax or con or something. And this guy's a con artist, but I can't figure out how. Ooh. But I'll read it out anyway. This is a guy from Chicago.
Oh. And
his name is Maxwell Donald. So he emailed. He didn't say, like, "Hi, Keith." So it was just like, you know, "My name is Maxwell Donald from Chicago, Illinois. I've been on the lookout for some artworks lately in regards to my wife's. That's a weird way of putting it, isn't it? My wife and I. Regards to I and my wife's anniversary. Would you say I and my wife's?
Well, it depends. If English is not your first language, and let's face it, we're out in the globe. We're out in the stratosphere, man.
Yeah,
we're bouncing off the troposphere. So yeah, I'm not gonna correct. If somebody's like taking the time, the decency.
No, Maxwell, Maxwell, you can't say I and my wife. Sorry, Maxwell, I'm taking you up on this.
No, I wouldn't be such a sort of grammatical prick.
I'd rather if you said me and me wife, instead of spelling my, spell me. Me and me wife.
Myself and me, ma.
Me and the missus. Hello. I have been on the lookout for some artworks lately in regards to myself and the missus' anniversary, which is just around the corner. That being said, I would like to purchase a surprise gift to my wife in honor of our upcoming wedding anniversary. So he kind of repeated himself there. I got the wedding anniversary thing, Donald Maxwell or Maxwell Donald or whatever your name is. Guy with two first names.
Hold on a sec. You're not being exactly welcome here. Be a little bit more.
I'm done with Donald Maxwell or Maxwell Donald. Like it says Donald Maxwell at the start and then he signs it off Maxwell. So is his name? Oh, no, it is Maxwell Donald. Okay, sorry, Maxwell. Take it back. But he said, "I've been on the lookout for some artworks lately in regards to I and my wife's anniversary, which is just around the corner. Okay. With that being said, I would like to purchase a surprise gift to my wife in honor of our upcoming wedding anniversary." I think he could have worded that better.
Fuck it. We're not all advertising executives. Listen, I'm very much of the opinion that if people haven't got good diction, and sometimes can't write properly, they may have all sorts of things that lead them. As long as he's communicating, he loves his wife.
Okay.
That's what I'm hearing.
All right. I love my wife. It's her anniversary. And here we go. It would be of help if you could send some pictures of your piece of works. So not pieces of work, piece of works with their respective prices and sizes, which are ready for immediate or close to immediate. So you don't have to finish the paintings yet, Mike. Don't be freaking out. All right. Which are ready for immediate or close to immediate sales. My budget for this is, now wait for this. This is the money. Cha-ching.
Okay.
Within the price range of $500 to $6,000. That's a big wide budget, isn't it? Like normally you'd be kind of like, you'd have an idea of like, well, I want to buy my wife a painting. Like it's either $6,000 or $500. Like that's a huge.
That's not okay. Something isn't sounding right here.
Like if I had $6,000 in my budget, I'd be saying my budget is up to $6,000. You know, and then you're going, okay, I can do you something I could do you a painting for $5,000 or something like that. Looking forward to reading from you. In a view to knowing more about your pieces of inventory, with regards from Maxwell. What do we do with Maxwell?
Oh, tell him to fuck off. It's a fucking fish, isn't it? It's a fuck off, Maxwell.
How is it a fish, though? I couldn't figure out. It was like, what, you just reply to them and then they steal all your information, is it?
That's one of those sort of like, you know, kind of naive type things. We get them at work all the time. They come into like a dodgy inbox, like, this is the picture that I've been sending around. If you want to have a look at my blah, blah, blah here. And all of a sudden you click on it. Not that I've ever clicked on it, of course. And you go to some really, really dodgy sort of websites where you've got to pay for all sorts of stuff.
Just to get out.
Yeah, and I'm not talking dark web. I'm talking sort of like, dusk web.
Okay.
Not completely dark, yeah.
But I can't figure out what the fish, because if I reply to him, that it's just a Gmail account. Isn't it? It looks like, well, I suppose it could be anything.
Yeah, if you look at the details of that account.
I want to reply to him and offer him a painting that me and you could work on together and sell it to him for $5,000.
I will quite happily sit in a 5-litre tub of white paint or black, whatever colour he specifies, and do an arse painting.
Ah, I like that idea. Okay. Yeah. I'll reply to him and say, we are happy to do an arse painting for you for $5,000.
Yeah, like, we like a photocopier, but live.
Hang on, so I just reply to him. We'd be very happy to. Hopefully, he'll get back to us.
Just let him know that we'll shower first. I certainly will, anyway. I don't want there to be any sort of marks of feces.
Arse painting. We'd be very happy to supply you one of Mike's arse paintings if you could let us know which
your bank details,
which color you'd prefer. What colors do you have, Mike?
I've got some sort of orangey stuff left over from the kitchen.
Some orangey stuff.
Yeah. Maybe you should do a typing course, Keith. You're writing for a living.
My typing is not the best, I'd have to say.
No, nor is mine. And I don't mean that as an insult.
No, I'd love to do. I did a typing course as part of my first year in college. It was like, and I could type fast then. I used to be able to type not looking at the keyboard, just type, obviously looking at the piece of paper. He has some orangey stuff left over from the kitchen.
I've also got some matte white ceiling paint.
Oh, that's not complicated. Please send on your... Please send on your bank details as soon as you can.
Yeah. And we'll do it for $5,005.
Lovely stuff. You have to put in the price. Please
plus postage.
Yeah. This will cost 5,000. 5,000, is that it?
Five thousand five.
Plus postage.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. That's good. He's getting a good deal here. $5,005 plus postage. Excellent. All right. Nice one. That's been sent to Donald Maxwell. We'd be very happy to supply one of Mike's arse paintings if you could let us know which colour you prefer. He has, I don't know, he said which colour you'd prefer, but then I only put in one colour.
And there's you taking the piss out of this man. Communicate.
Which colour you prefer? He has some orangey stuff left over from the kitchen. Please send your bank details as soon as you can. This will cost you $5,005 plus postage. Done. Nice one. Good job. That was worth it. That's a nice bit of business.
Isn't it? Yeah. A sale done. Cha-ching!
Cha-ching! This is like, I never thought that doing the podcast would lead us to making money in that way by doing arse paintings.
Huge wealth from my sphincter.
will your sphincter be included? I was thinking it would just be arse cheek work.
No, I could do a bit of sphincter stuff, I'm sure. I'm sure I could sort of, yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
okay. Extra,
maybe a little bit of the back of the testicles.
Oh, they could get involved, yeah. A little bit of scrotum. I should have asked him if he wanted a bit of scrotum and sphincter or just the cheeks.
Well, listen, we've opened it up.
Yeah, we'll get back to him. Yeah, he might have other questions.
Yeah,
but we don't have a lot of time. We got like his anniversary is soon, so
yeah, he needs to get his shit together.
He needs to get his shit together. Like, yeah. I didn't want to say to him, he's kind of left it late, you know, and like Like it's, you know, it's important. It's a big anniversary.
Typical fucking man.
Yeah, typical man. Yeah. Two first name man, Donald Maxwell. Like, you know.
So do we get any other people writing to us?
That was it. That was it. They, yeah. Oh. And that, and I'd say Donald Maxwell probably didn't write to us. That was probably just a bit of spam. But
maybe he did. You don't know. You just don't know. There's all sorts of fucked up people out there.
Do you think he'd listen to the podcast and then said, these guys might be good for a painting for my anniversary?
Yeah.
They sound like that's exactly what they do.
Well, he's probably heard you talk about your cards, you see.
Oh, yeah, maybe, yeah. And he wants a big arse painting from you because he heard me talk about drawing cards.
There you go. Arsing with Keith.
I'm not doing the arsing. I'm just a salesman in the arsing paintings. Can I ask you a question? Because the nightclubs opened again last night. They're back. Were you out last night at a nightclub?
Yeah, I was. I was at two nightclubs, actually. no, but there's this hot stuff happening in this house at the moment. Because, of course, you know, the teenage discos, I'm sure they're the same in every county. There's one in Ennis called the Queens, which is, you know, it's massive. It's everybody goes to the Queens and gets their first shift. And of course, for the last 2 years, you might say my son's formative years from sort of 14 up to 16, it's been shut.
Yeah.
And he showed no interest in going sort of first and second year disco. So he missed out. So hot off the press, the Queens released an extra 400 tickets for Monday night.
No.
Yep. So we have been, I've spent most of yesterday sort of doing photocopies of photo ID, and they've got to have their COVID cert and everything. Because they do not trust any, and quite rightly, I think, these could turn into super spreader events.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. But kids are going, well, I'll just take a picture of me and I'll do, overcomplicating stuff. And if you send me a Snapchat of your COVID cert, then they can scan it. And it's like, well, that's not going to work really because I want photo ID.
Mm.
And Jimmy's going to me, well, I don't really need photo ID, do I? I mean, but you've got your cert. You've got, just take a picture of your passport and off you go. And they get all they need, you know? So you're not taking your passport with you. And they've allowed that to happen because they don't want loads of teenagers puking their first bottle of vodka all over their passport.
Passport, yeah. And so he's vaccinated.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. I haven't, because my son is 13, but we haven't, it's probably time to consider.
Oh, yeah, you can get him done.
Yeah, we haven't really thought about it.
Oh, fuck me. Get him off. Get him shot up, because it'd just be a pain in the hole for you going into the future. If you want to go anywhere quickly, ball ache. They don't have to be. But
it's handy.
Yeah, and there's a considerable amount of people within the, and I'm going to use the most annoying word on the planet, cohort of that age group who are not doing it. Because, you know, it's my right and, you know, it's about my mental health, and they're throwing every excuse they can at it. Yeah. And I know you're there and your eyebrows are going up.
No, I'm just, I was just doing that to throw you off. It wasn't
it is, you've got remarkably good eyebrows.
Jesus,
they are very expressive. Yeah, but there's a lot of people using Facebook type of stuff, you know, this sort of anti-vax crack. ladies and gentlemen, he's moving his eyebrows. He's Roger Moore-esque, I can tell you that. Yeah, now he looks like he's going to vomit. Yeah. So, yeah, there's a lot of non-uptake in the sort of, I'm going to say, 17 to 12s.
I think we'd be happy to do it, and I think he'd be happy to have it. We just, you see, he got his other, he got his... what's the one?
HPV?
HPV, yeah, recently. Yeah. So, and actually, it was in the same place. I wonder, did they just throw in an old COVID vaccine while he was there?
Probably. No. They need your consent. And with the HPV thing, they were crying out. They threw away a load of HPV stuff. And we had to go because Jimmy wasn't of the age where it came in. So they started, I mean, there has to be a start-off point. I understand that in sort of, let's say, 2017, it was first years, all get it. So it's such a poor take-up, and they threw stuff out, but we had to pay, get this, 900 euros for the HPV vaccine.
What?
900 euros.
Even though a lot of stuff had been thrown out?
Yep.
Well, it's very can I say it to you and your good wife? That's very responsible, because I think most people would be like, I'm not paying €900, and ultimately at some stage possibly putting someone's life at risk.
Absolutely. And it's more for women's health, obviously.
Yeah,
than men's.
It is. Totally,
yeah, I mean,
it's totally for women's health. Yeah.
I couldn't understand why they just didn't, you know, say, okay, got some third years or fourth years or fifth years who are, you know,
yeah,
who want it.
Yeah.
Put a bing bong out on the school thing. We'll come back tomorrow if you've got consent.
Yeah. Put a bing bong out in the thing hong. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bing bong.
All fifth years if you fancy an injection tomorrow. But yeah, it's taking the fucking piss.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you watch these campaigns online. How many people have died or are dying from cervical or other cancers related to the HPV?
Yeah.
And we look at them and we kind of go, oh, isn't that terrible? And we make them Woman of the Year. They are they're putting themselves out there and asking people to do it. Their last wishes often are please get people and their families. They're out there campaigning and we're just flittering it away like a bunch of fucking idiots.
Mm. Well, we like the posts on Twitter and Facebook. That's important.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Don't do anything about it.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I just think it's the women have fucking suffered enough, Mike, haven't they?
Fucking right they have.
Like, the shit they have to put up with, right, from us, from their own bodies, from, like, the shit they have to go through. And then, not only that, like, if they do consent to us putting our willy near them, our fucking sperm can give them cancer. Like, what the, like, how fucked up is that?
And so, there's a cure for that.
And it's very easy to cure, to stop yourself being the person who carries that HPV cancer thing, and just do it, people. Just do it.
Don't be a fucking
sack
idiot.
Of shit.
Yeah, and I would say to you, get your son, get him. Don't be a prick.
Get the prick. Don't be a prick.
Prickectomy.
He's got the HPV, so we'll get him. So that was the thing. It was on the horizon. So I was kind of worried about him getting two jabs close together. So once he's recovered from that, no sort of ill side effects, which can happen, and you know, bad things can happen from anything, you know, from walking across the road. So I think it's a good time now to get it done. But also, because you mentioned, I'm sure he'll want to go to an old teenage disco at some point.
Exactly.
Mm. Mike, hang on a sec. That's how they get you. That's how they fucking get you. Then the kids need the COVID certs to go into the teenage discos. Then McDonald's are going to need a COVID cert. That's how they get you, man.
Yeah, and that's how they're tracking you, man.
That's how they're tracking you. That's how Bill Gates and his cronies are putting 5G up your willy and giving and making you into a robot.
I listened to a fantastic piece of radio this week on James O'Brien. Speaking of people who I listen to a lot of James
O'Brien. You love James O'Brien.
I love James O'Brien. I like his willingness at the beginning of the program to come out with a hypothesis. Mm. And what he wants to do is get people to argue him out of the way he's feeling. And this can be just a little picture on a page of a paper that he's looked at and gone, that's interesting. And he picks these odd little things. Now, I mean, he's an anti-Brexit. he's anti the Conservative Party and anti all sorts of things, but is a rational sort of man. But there was a guy on there and he asked people to come on if they think they've been sort of brainwashed into thinking things. And there's an 8-minute clip. I think I liked it on Twitter. You can follow James O'Brien on Twitter and see the LBC link. And it's 8 minutes of this guy saying how he turned from being completely non-political into being vehemently right-wing, racist. Everybody's going to Epstein's islands to feast on the blood of children to make them young type of lizard stuff. I mean, he covered everything. I mean, it was like, and he's laughing at himself saying that, you know. And it got to the stage where he was down so many rabbit holes. And as he said himself, I'm still 89%. or I'm 89% out of where I was. There's 11% of me that still thinks people are out to get me, and people, the good people who I know are good, are there to convince me of other things. And he was just like, and he was he was talking about social media, all of them, and it then came down to the stage that he was from a mixed race family, in that his sister was of Caribbean origin, and he was becoming anti-immigration, anti-everything. And his sister, who is like, on one hand, he's thinking, what can I buy her for Christmas? And the other hand is, how can I kill her, sort of thing. So it was just fucking fascinating that people can be. And this came about non-political till Trump took over. And he said his media, his whole world, filled up with sort of pro this, pro that, anti this, anti that. And because some of it is said really positively, it took him down even further wormholes and took him down. And all of a sudden, he's become highly politicized by the things he's written. And everything, of course, you start reinforcing because you start following people who kind of make sense the first time you listen to them. Then you think, oh, they're a bit mad. But then they kind of say the stuff that was sensible in the first place. And just everything's kind of rehashed in, you know, that they're really pounding in their points and throwing in a little bit of racism and kind of taking it back, but throwing it in a little bit. And throwing a bit of right-wingism and just anti this.
A suggestion.
Yeah. Oh, it's fucking fascinating. Yeah. And I've become highly, highly political this week.
Have you?
Yeah.
As well as that, or just in general, as well?
But yeah, because it's funny, because you say you liked something on Twitter, because I liked James O'Brien's post about Claire Byrne talking to Nigel Farage.
Yeah.
And everybody smiles and goes, that's great. We should not be giving that man any oxygen. Even though she makes him look like a sort of a dick who doesn't know his history, everything he says is calculated.
I know, but I would agree in this case, because I think it's important that anybody in Ireland. So if you're Irish and you're looking at someone like Farage and going, yeah, he's fucking right. You know what I mean? He's right. But like, we also need to get out of Europe, you know. It's important that that we see him for the idiot he is, and the fact that he's saying happy birthday to Gerry Adams and for 70 quid or whatever. Like, and then talking about, so what he was talking about was the Ireland fighting for their independence.
Mm-hmm.
So why then were we happy to not be independent and be under the rule of Europe?
Exactly.
To which somebody made several points about the difference between being a member of an organization like the European Union or whatever it's called, European Economic, whatever, I don't know what even it's called now. There's a difference between being a voluntary member of something that supports you rather than being under the rule of a country that wants to oppress you. And those are the major differences. We've chosen to be involved in this. It helps us. We still have our independence. Like what he was saying was ridiculous. And then like, just, it was brilliant because the worry is that he does come over here and start, you know, giving speeches and people start going along. So if we see him in that light as this idiot who really isn't clued into what's going on really, and is, as you said, everything he says is calculated. Everything he said, like, I mean, him talking about Ireland's independence.
Oh yeah.
Very calculated. Because if somebody just heard that in isolation, they would be like, yeah, what the fuck? What was the point of fighting for independence if now like we're like fucking stupid? And it just gives anybody who has any little reason for thinking that maybe we're better off without Europe, that's the ammunition. That's the argument they make in the pub. That's the argument they make around the dinner table. But sure, what did we fight? What was it all about? What was the independence?
The only problem I have with you is that you're intelligent. And the only problem I also have, it's actually two problems I have with you, is that you're looking at it on the media, as in from the RTE news feed, which gives a whole interview or whatever, or somebody else that gives something else. So little bits may be taken out. Mm. And then, you know, you Irish people, you've been taken over by England and now you're taken over by Europe. That standalone there is a terrible thing to say. And happy birthday, Gerry, up the rah, you know, or Chucky Erlar, whatever he's been saying this week can be snip-bitted and put it in. So it's classic gaslighting. Absolute fucking, he's done this before, and now he's here. And once he gets in, he gets his little fingers, there'll be people going, you know, there's enough people in this country who are already anti-everything.
Yeah.
Who will jump on his bandwagon, because he's fantastic. He'll come out and promise you the earth, moon, and stars, and he's a very charismatic figure.
Mm.
And there's something about him, and it makes my fucking skin crawl to see him getting the stuff on TV and on Twitter and on all the platforms, because people are putting it up as a joke meme. You know, I can't believe he said this for £87, because he's doing these things.
Mm.
But that's how he plays the game. Once he gets on mainstream media, all people have to hear is, you know, Europe, England. Persecution. Oh, no. And if you're even slightly in that sort of frame of mind, you're gone.
So do you think that he's been saying these kind of happy birthday to Jerry Adams, on purpose?
I mean, he did one Sean South of Gary Owen as well.
Yeah that was like
pretending not to know, you know, and he's done that a lot. And he doesn't need that money. He's a very wealthy individual. For him to be sitting down on his computer getting 80 quid a pop just to say, you know, just to sort of demean himself, that's not his way. You know, he's part of a bigger old plan. And now I sound like
I'm being James O'Brien here, and I'm sort of open to being, you know, convinced by your argument, and I'm being swayed towards your thinking. That's a good point.
Yeah, the problem once racism and sort of negativity is out there, it's out there. You can't put it back in the box. And I hate it.
I just don't like him because he's got that real drinker, smoker's coffee. Oh, God. But
you see, he puts on the accent then as well. You know, and there's an awful lot of people who, Irish or English, would doff their cap and sort of tug their furlock to these type of people without even thinking about it. We do it. It's a reaction. We've been, again, gaslit that there are people who are more important than us and there are people who are less important than us. And that's a way of sort of society keeping us in our box. Maybe I should get my tinfoil hat on now.
I think you need to ring James O'Brien and tell him about the time you were your head was turned.
Yeah, but it's all been I've had
get
this
off
massive...
Facebook, Mike. Get off Facebook. Come on.
I'm not on Facebook. That's the fucking reason. And I people at work come out with these statements, and I say, did you get that at Facebook? And they go, yeah. And I'm just not that sort of person now that just sits down and goes, you know, I can't sit down and go that's.
I'm going to explain that to you now. I don't do Facebook and I wouldn't really explain. I mean, it's a terrible thing, but I just wouldn't explain to people why what they're saying is wrong. You know, I mean, I just can't be arsed, which is probably a terrible thing. But, you know.
You don't want to come across like a pompous know-it-all git either.
No, like, and like I don't want to come across like you, Mike. Do you know what I mean?
No, you don't.
Nightclubs, would you?
Oh, yeah, go on.
Were you a nightclub person?
Oh, yeah,
back in the day,
yeah, there was a place, there was like Tropics in Limerick, phenomenal nightclub.
What was Tropics like?
Tropics was that. Sort of, it had a balcony and a big dance floor. It had the sort of coving seats around it, you know, those sort of like you could smooch in there. All the rugby clubs in Limerick had their Saturday night disco bows and all of them. Gary Owen, all the big hotels had a nightclub. And probably the best thing, if you went into the city to the George, to where Tropics was, you would pay your £1.50 or whatever, and then you would get your token, and then at midnight you would get your chicken in a basket with chips.
Best thing. The only reason you went was for the chicken in a basket.
Pretty much.
Yeah, we used to get a curry.
Oh, fuck. That's bad news. That's kind of hiding the bad meat.
You don't know what's in it, really.
No, you don't know.
And it was close to the curry, so it could have been like horse or anything.
your sheep.
Yeah. Sheep is okay.
You might as well eat a sheep, and if you're a horse, it's horse, yeah. Right?
Well, I'm still alive. No, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
As long as it wasn't human meat.
I think somebody used to say about Tropics that the chicken in the basket was so good you'd taste it twice on the way in
and on the way out. Back out.
Yeah, and they had those sort of smoky mirrors that when you walked in there, you looked like somebody from Wham.
Oh, wow.
You know, you were dark and like, wow. And the ultraviolet lights, so your teeth shone.
That's right. Yeah, I remember going into nightclubs and seeing myself in the mirror and being like, oh, I look great.
Yeah, okay. Wow. I'll go back out and you're fucking pasty. And
You look like Gollum.
Sweating. It takes you 2 weeks to go white.
Quasimodo. Quasimodo lurching around trying to get a taxi.
Any bit of fluff you had on your clothes then?
Oh yeah, any dandruff?
Yeah. Oh, it would shine up.
Yeah, you had to give no dandruff. Yeah, Jesus, yeah. Be careful of that. But good to see nightclubs back. I hope it's not like a short lived where they go, yeah, we opened up the nightclubs and everybody got really sick and now the ICU beds are full and we're all fucked, so we have to close them again. I really hope for the younger people, but they got like my daughter, and it's like my daughter hasn't been. She's 19 now, and she hadn't been to a nightclub legally.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So she kind of missed 2 years of nightclubbing and similar to your Jimmy, like those formative, like 17, 18, 19, those years when you can start going to the big nightclubs. So she went out last night in Waterford, and.
Wow.
Yeah, got up and came home. She was in work today, so they're home by 9 o'clock this morning.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus is right.
Oh, well, she won't do that too frequently.
No, but you got to do it. You got to do it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I will listen. Yeah. I think we've all done it. Were you a nightclubber?
Yeah, I was like nightclubs. There was a famous nightclub here in Kildare called Nijinsky's. Named after the ballerina, named after the horse, or the other way around, Nijinsky's. And that was a great nightclub.
Yeah, Nijinsky, didn't she marry the dodgy film director? The Russian guy. Wasn't there a picture of her with a snake wrapped around her?
Was it?
Am I talking about something completely different?
You might be talking about something completely different. I feel like Nijinsky was a horse, right?
Roman Polanski is what I'm thinking of.
Was Nijinsky?
No, I'm thinking Natasha Kinski.
Yes, because I was thinking, I think Nijinsky was a male ballerina.
Okay.
And I didn't want to say that just in case you knew more. Vaslav Nijinsky was a ballet dancer and choreographer cited as the greatest male dancer of the early 20th century. Boom.
Apart from Keith.
Yeah, well, I never went up against him in competition, but no. I'd have been right up there. Born in Kiev to Polish parents, Nijinsky grew up in Imperial Russia, but considers himself to be Polish. So that's Nijinsky, and then the horse is named after him, and then the nightclub was named after the horse because it's on the Kura.
Okay, right, brilliant. Yep.
So we used to go to Nijinsky's. There was an alternative night in Nijinsky's where it was all Stone Roses, Pixies, Violent Femmes, The Cure, a bit of Iron Maiden, a bit of AC/DC, a bit of Guns N' Roses, a bit of Fields of the Nephilim,
wouldn't it be my cup of tea now?
Bit of Nirvana, bit of grunge, bit of Pearl Jam. We were that was when we were in our pomp, and we went to that regularly. I must have gone to that disco every most weekends for about 3 or 4 years.
And I think on Spotify you've done a Nijinsky's playlist.
Burgle Firk has.
Yes, I knew somebody had done one. Yeah.
I might have added to it, but yeah, we did the ultimate Nijinsky's playlist, which you can find there on Spotify. I think it was Fergal Burke's Spotify. I probably shared it, so you can look for me on Spotify. But then I went to Dublin.
Okay.
And then I went to like proper dance clubs. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah. Like whistles around your neck.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, I wasn't quite into the whistles around the neck, but it was about getting dressed up to the nines and going to a nightclub and not leaving the house till like midnight.
Oh, right. Okay.
And then you'd go to, there was a place in Dublin called Pod, Place of Dance. And it was just like.
And when you say you get dressed up, I mean, like, Would you get dressed up in like a suit?
No, it would be very like I would have a very skin tight. You might have had like leather pants.
Oh fuck!
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, you'd be like like dressed up like a pop star or something. Like a fucking.
You'd look like a cunt.
Place of Cunt, it was called. Not Place of Dance. Place of Cunts. That's a much better name.
Bunch of Cunts.
B-U-C. I used to have a nightclub called Buck. B-U-C. Bunch of Cunts. We used to get properly, like, it was serious. We did have, and like it was serious, like, up all night, dancing all night, and it was so bad that at one point we had to leave Dublin to get away from the scene, you know?
Okay, yeah. Okay, I hear you. Yeah, I was never into the I was more late bars, kind of little dance floor type of thing. There were a load of nightclubs around South Kensington when we worked in Juries, and there was one with a swing in it that I seem to remember. Richard O'Sullivan. It was like, it was there was a Joan Collins movie that had like her sitting naked on a swing, and there were sort of roses all around the thing, and it was a beautiful garden swing, and she was naked, and that was one of the early things that I saw a naked lady, Joan Collins, go, oh, she's on a swing, and I think I saw the top of her jassle, and they had one of these in this nightclub. And of course, fuck it, I sat up on top of the fucking thing, and all of a sudden, I think Seamus McGowan, who was the general manager, gave me a push, and he was a big fucking lad, gave me a push, and I was like across the dance floor. My fucking knees. Couldn't walk straight for a week. Fuck, I think that's probably my back injury right there.
Oh, wow.
You know, like I was catapulting. Ah! Arms are flailing.
Oh man.
Fuck. Yeah.
The old swingers clubs.
Oh, no, it wasn't a swingers club.
I don't think I went to any nightclubs in South Kensington. I probably was too much of a hippie to. I don't know. They probably wouldn't let me in.
Yeah, it was all sort of like BGs, B-52s, real disco-y type stuff, you know?
What about the nightclub that was downstairs from the hotel we worked at? Was that mad? Was it? I remember.
Yeah.
I feel like I went down there for a drink one night.
Oh, we used to go down there all the time because we could, because we had the keys. I can't, you know what? I can't remember the name of the place, but it was taken over by, it was part of the hotel and the management were taken over. Were taken in as part of buying the hotel.
Yeah.
They wanted to put an Irish bar down there, but your man said, no. Give me a couple of weeks. You'll see the profits go through the roof. It was an Italian guy who looked like a mix between Berlusconi and Sarkozy. He left a trail of slime after him. He was unreal and always had these really, he was small little guy, dark white teeth and always had like, surrounded by 5'11" Russian models.
He always had girls on his arms.
Oh, like literally on his arms all the time. Couldn't go without one. Like, you know, you could never ask him a question. What time are you opening tonight? Hey, babe, hey, speak to the people, speak to the people. Yeah, and he's, so.
And then you'd go down to the nightclub and it'd be nobody there.
Yeah, people would come and go.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. And yet the receipts would be fantastic. Anywho.
People would come and buy very expensive champagne, but maybe there'd be no empty bottles or something like that.
There you go. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Shit. Wish I'd known that. Anyway, the nightclubs are back. That's the main thing. Mike, have you any recommendations for us this week for check it out. What's it all about? And if you don't, that's fine. Because I think what we need to do is finish off this week's podcast by you singing the song of our people. I mean, our producer.
Oh, Fuck, I haven't, I don't have a copy of it. Do I have it on my...
You haven't prepared? You haven't prepared?
No, I haven't prepared. But I can tell you about something called 99% Invisible. A podcast.
Go for it, yeah.
I would recommend to a friend.
I'm looking it up now.
Yeah, you can see what it says on it.
99% Invisible. 99 Luft Balloons, is that it?
No.
99 Problems, Jay-Z. 99% Invisible, the podcast. Okay, will I read it out for you, Mike?
Yeah, what does it say?
Design is everywhere in our lives. Perhaps most importantly, in the places where we've just stopped noticing. 99% Invisible is a weekly exploration of the process and power of design and architecture from award-winning producer Roman Mars. Learn more at 99percentinvisible.org. What's it about, Mike?
So, what? Check it out. I wasn't aware that was actually the sort of the tagline for it there. But somebody just said to me, "Listen to 99% Invisible." I put on 99% Invisible, and I put it on random. Random. There's about 450 of them. And they're all half-hour things, so I wouldn't say you'd have to catch up or listen to them in any order. They're all standalone. But if you've got half an hour, bit of hoovering, bit of gardening, got the earphones in, listen to them. I listened to one about printing presses in the early 1900s.
Right.
On the east and west coast of America, they used to print. That was the only way you had media. But the paper was quite absorbent, and in the summertime, there'd be a lot of moisture in the air, humidity.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't get a clear print. So this Italiano guy...
Italian.
He decided to kind of design this machine by blowing something.
I make a machine.
To make it... he wanted to actually condition the air around the printer.
Wow.
So that the ink was done at a normal temperature, so that it didn't spill out, the humidity was taken out of the paper and whatever, and the back end of that, the mistake was it cooled the air as it did it, because he used ice to do ice. Cooling. Yeah. So they realized that all the people who were working in the printing press would go to the printing press room to have their lunch in the height of summer. And then he thought, you know what? I'll go to the cinema, because the cinemas are shut during the summer. People were only living in the east and the west of America at this stage. Okay, the southern states were very poor. The houses were huge if you had one, because you had to have a veranda and fans and all sorts of stuff, or else you just lived in the heat in the swamps. It was horrible. So he went to a cinema and he said, listen, I can give you this and maybe you can use it. So air conditioning was born, but as a mistake, the summer blockbuster was born. So people would go in their fucking thousands to the cinema because it was cold in 40 degree heat.
Yeah. No.
And then some guy said, you know what? I can do that. If we knock out a window of a house, I can scale it down so it can be small enough to have it, whatever. And so that became, people then started migrating to the southern states of America and the northern, so you could heat and cool your house and condition your air. And it started off this mad thing. And then they started talking about the design of buildings. Before that, they were all big verandas and all this sort of stuff. And then in the big cities, you could build tower blocks, which didn't need ventilation and room. And the air conditioning was born. They started talking about the electricity. More electricity is used in America in air conditioning than everything else put together.
Wow. So
it's completely fucked it. So then an Indian guy comes on and goes, in Mumbai, it gets to 40 degrees all the time.
Isn't it funny how you could do the Italian accent, but I wouldn't do the Indian accent, because that would be...
No.
Yeah.
No, exactly. That would be culturally really unsound.
Wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be very bad.
Okay.
So Indian guy comes on and he says, it's 40 degrees in Mumbai during the summer. We're all building buildings with air conditioning, but we haven't got the electricity, and we're a developing country and we want to think about this. So what we're doing is we're going back to the old days of the Raj and whatever, when they built buildings and they put water in between them. So they build the buildings around water, and that water would rise up and cool the actual building during the day. So they're now designing buildings surrounded by and encompassing water in India, so as not to use air conditioning, and they can bring the temperature of 40 degrees in your building down to about 25, which is perfectly acceptable. So it's just, you know, it's what you're used to and whatever, and people are used to going in and out, putting on 17 degrees and being a bit chilly, but, you know, at least it's not too hot. But the people in India are going, no, 40 degrees at home is really fucking hot. If we can entice them into a building, it's 25 degrees, it's cool. It's perfectly workable. They're okay. It's all about your expectations. And it's all done by mistake.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was just 25 minutes of this program.
That is fascinating. It says here, episode 462, I can't believe it's pink margarine. And here's the blurb. Margarine is yellow like butter, but it hasn't always been. At times and in places, it has been a bland white or even a dull pink. These strange variations were a byproduct of a 150-year war to destroy margarine and everything it stands for. During this epic fight for survival, margarine has had to reinvent itself over and over again. So the story of margarine, I'm delighted. Yeah. I love this podcast. I haven't even listened to them, and no. I love it. I learned a fact during the week when Queen Victoria used to go up to Scotland to play golf.
Oh yeah.
She would have the lads that would carry the bags for her were cadets. So as she played golf, the cadets would carry her bags. She called her cadets what, Mike?
Caddies. Wowzer.
That's where the golf caddy came from.
Wow.
Boom.
Wow, that is an interest. Even if that's made up, that is very, very interesting. And if it goes quiet in Copperface Jacks tonight and you're not shifting anyone, bring that with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bring that out of your bag.
Oh, that'll impress anybody. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Fucking nice one. We'll have to come back. Sorry, Burgle Firk, producer. We'll come back with your song that was so brilliantly crafted and beautifully made. But we need to give it the time, and we need to...
We really do.
Yeah, we need to practice it probably. Like we do a lot of pre-production work anyway for the podcast, but we need to do a bit more. So we'll give it that time that it deserves.
Yeah, we need to do things like we need a tuning fork, we need to see what key we're singing in, that sort of stuff, who we're going to do the backing.
Okay.
It's
a big job. We just want to do it properly. So, Mike, listen, enjoy your crazy weekend of nightclubbing, and you're working tomorrow, aren't you?
Yeah.
Sorry about that, man. And
it's okay.
Hopefully I'll get this podcast out at some stage.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Seems as the other one hasn't gone out yet.
Gone out today. All out together.
Yeah. I'm just trolling. People would be delighted. They'll get like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't you love it when your favorite podcast like just suddenly
doubles up? Yeah. Yeah. It's like birthday presents. I know you've got to go and do something. Yeah, you've got somebody waiting for you to do something. Yes. Cool.
See you, Mike.
Thank you very much. This has been the Keith Walsh Podcast.
Oh, thanks to Aircast. Thanks to Mike. Thanks to the good people of Juries in Kensington.
Yeah, for giving us material.
Yeah. For bringing us together, Mike. Oh. Without them, none of this would have happened.
No. Oh, something. Your dog is barking. The door's gone.
The door's gone. The dog's barking. I better go. Right. Okay. Good luck.
Bye.
See you, Mike.
Bye.
Have a great day.
And you. Miss you. Bye.
Say hello to Claire. Bye. Claire is where he lives. It's not like... Yeah.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.